This week we are doing Daf Ayin Beis in Erevin. We're going to start from the last couple of lines on Daf Ayin Aleph on the page. The Gemara over here is in the middle of a Machlekes or Meir and the Rabbanon, but it's important to just very quickly run through what is the Machlekes or Meir and Rabbanon. So we'll do that very quickly to start, about 6-7 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Meir 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 Rabbanon. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Ma'arvin b'chatzeres b'pas. This is the issue about once you make it a shutuf muvois, whether or not you also need a separate eruv in the chotzer. The chotzer, of course, is the smaller courtyard right in front of the house. The mavui is the bigger passageway between all the houses, all the chatzeres. So the question is, once you make a big shutuf with all of the with everything involved, is there a point really in making a separate eruv within the chotzer itself? So Rav Meir's sheet is the following. You're allowed to use bread. You're supposed to use bread for the purpose of making the Erev Chatzeres. But to use wine, you can't be Ma'arvin, as we explained last week, because the problem with wine is that doesn't designate where you are staying. However, by Mobley, the purpose is just to make a Shutzvah, so that can be done even with wine. That, of course, if you want to use bread, that, of course, you could use bread for shitav also. Ma'arvin b'chaseris, u'mishtafim b'mavoi. And Rameir shita is that you have to do both. You have to be ma'arv in the chaser and also be mishtafim in the mavoi. Shalai lishkachtar is erev minatinoikes, so that the concept of erev should not be forgotten. Shiyemru, because otherwise they'll say, avasen alo irvu, that our fathers didn't bother to make an erev, because, as we explained, that they really don't need to, because you already have a sheet of mavois. But again, Rameir says you have to do it in the chotzer anyway. Divrei Rameir, v'chacham omrim, as we're going to point out in a second, oy ma'arvin, oy mishtatvin. You could do either one, either make the erev in the chotzer or make a sheet of in the mavois. So here's where we'll start. Pligi ba Rav Nechumi v'Rava. So machlokes Rav Nechumi and Rava had to explain the machlokes. Chad amar b'pas kulei amaloi pligi tibachod asagi. One explanation is because Rameir and the Rabbanon argue about two things: whether or not it's required to make a sheet of mavois after you make a sheet of mavois, whether you need to do something in the chotzer as well, and also they argue about whether or not you have to use pas bread versus using yayin wine. So chad amar b'pas dekulei amaloi pligi debechoder sagi, that if you're already using bread, since bread works both in the chotzer and the mavoi, so there's no argument, so that once you're using the bread, you're good all over. Ki pligi b'yayin, they only argue about if you're using wine, whether or not, since the wine doesn't work in the chatzar, do we say that you therefore have to make a separate Erev in the chatzar, or do we say once the Erev works for the sake of the mavoi, we're going to allow it to work for the chatzar as well? And the other one, the Yomer, says, no, once you're using wine, for sure you have to go ahead and use and make a separate Erev in the chatzar as well. Keep pligi b'pas. So the only argument is, if you're using pas, that's where Rav Meir and the Rabbanon argue whether or not you have to then go ahead and make a separate shutuf mavois as well. If you're already using pas in the mavoi, whether or not you have to also separately make an erev in the chotzer. So that's where the machlokes is. So now the Gemara asks, Meisvei, let's go back and look at the lashon of the braisa itself. It says, the chachamah oimim oima arvin oima shtatvin. It says, the chachamah hold, you can either make the erev or make the shutuf mavois. So my lav. So what are they arguing about? Oyma arvin b'chaser b'pas. So Gemara wants to interpret this to mean that either you make a eruv in the chaser. Now the point that the Gemara understands for the Chachamim is that they argue on these two points. So oyma arvin b'chaser b'pas. Either you make the eruv in the chaser with pas, oy mishtatvin b'mavet b'yayin, or you make the shituf mavois with the wine. So we see that that the Chachamim argue about whether Shituf Mavois works with wine as well. And again, as we said, that would mean that you say once you're using wine in the Shituf Mavois, so it works for the Erev as well. But that doesn't work according to the Mandiyoma that says that if you use the Yayin, that for sure you still have to make a Erev Chatzer. So it's a Kasha on the second Pshat. So Amarav Gidol, Amarav Hachi Kamino, the way to read those words are as follows. Oy Ma'arvin B'chotzer B'pat. Either you make it, according to the Chachamim, you either make an Erev in the Chotzer using bread, the Mutarn Kan V'Kan, that's the Chiddush, that once you make the Erev in the Chotzer, if everybody has an Erev in the Chotzer, that works even for the Shituf Mavois, or you make a Shituf in the Mavoi using bread, and we're talking kan v'kan. But the point is that you have to use that it's only mutter to make the sheet of mervois with pas is for the sake of the Erev is only if you use pas. Okay, so that's how he gets out of the explanation. Of course, both pshatim still stay alive. It's just that in case you want to ask a question from the lashon of the chachamim, it's not really a question because you can learn that the requirement of mavli can be done by pas, and you don't have to learn that it's being done with yayin, which would be a kasha on the mandiyama that says yayin is still a machlekes. Then the Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, halacha k'Rav Meir. We paskin like Rav Meir, meaning, as Rashi explains, that we get up in the Beis Medrash and we darshan. Everybody should know paskin like Rav Meir that you must use pas. Rav Huna, Amar Minhag k'Rav Meir. That the minhag is meaning we're not going to get up and darshan and tell everybody that you have to follow Rav Meir. However, if somebody comes to ask, we're going to tell them that by the way, you are chayev to use pas like Rav Meir shita. Rav Yerchanan, Amar No Guha Am k'Rav Meir. That people did it." But really, there's no halachic basis for it. But if people already did it, we say b'diavad it's going to be a kosher that way, and we're not going to make a macha. However, we don't tell anybody. Even if they ask, we don't tell anybody that dafka you have to hold like Rav Meir. Adkan. Correct. That means if they ask exactly the chachamim, if they ask a question, we'll tell them to do like the chachamim. However, if people went ahead and were noyeg already, noyeg is in the past tense, if they were already noyeg like Rav Meir, so we say, okay, fine, you have, as the expression is, Yeshami Lismoich, Rav Meir is a reliable shita. If you did it already, of course, if you had asked me, I would have told you to do like the Chachamim. Now, the Mishnah starts a new concept. The new concept over here is when you have a couple of people that have some connection between them. The question is whether or not they're considered separate enough to require a contribution to the area from each one of them, or do we say, no, they're really, it's all still within the same room, so therefore they're considered connected. So the case over here is as follows. Chamisha chaburois, you have five groups of people, sheshavsu betraklin echad, that all stayed in one traklin is one hallway, but it's more like there's a large room. Think about it as one of these rooms that has some sort of separation between them, but as we'll discuss in the Gemara, how large the separation is and how what the extent of the separation is. But there's some sort. But it is definitely one room. It's constructed as one room, and there are foldable walls or some sort of wall in between them. So the question is that wall enough of a separation between them? Beishamay Oimrim Iriv L'Kol Chabura V'Chabura. Beishamay says that they are considered separate, and therefore, if this group of people wants to be Mishtatef, wants to join into an Eruv with other people in the Chotzer, each group within its own area has to contribute its own part to the Eruv. Beishamay Oimrim Iriv Echad L'Kulon. That one Eruv really works for all of them because they're really not that separate. Umoidim, but But even Beis Hillel will agree that they're considered separate. If part of the group is already in separate rooms, we'll see how separate they are. Or Ba'aliyos, they're on a separate floor, so that's already enough of a separation that each one is going to have to contribute on their own. That in that case, each group within their own little container is going to have to contribute into the Erev in order to be Mishtate. All right, so now we need a lot of explanation over here to understand what exactly the case is that requires that separates them and therefore requires a contribution from each group. It's going to be four pshatim right here in the beginning of the Gemara. So Amar Rav Nachman, the first pshat is according to the first years of Rav Nachman, machlokes, the machlokes between Beishamay and Beis Hillel and Masifis, which is a small, low wall, less than 10 tefachim high. It's just like some sort of barrier. Avol v'mechitza, and that's why they argue whether or not that's considered enough of a separation. Avol v'mechitza, but when you're dealing with a real wall that's 10 tefachim high, then everybody would agree, even Beis Hillel would agree that they're separate enough, and everybody has to contribute on their own. Igadami, another gersa to this is, Amar Rav Nachman, again, this is still Rav Nachman, a possible explanation in Rav Nachman, but it says, after Masifim Mesmach like this, they argue both in a short wall and a long wall, any separation between them separates, that's the machlokes Beishan and Beis Hillel, that's where they argue whether or not there's enough of separation. That's the second shot. Third shot. Pligi bar Rav Chiya Rav Shimon. There's a machlokes Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon, what the third and fourth shot is. Rav Shimon v'Rebbe. Chad Omar One says the explanation is machloikis b'mechitas hamagias l'tikra. Over here, it's not necessarily the size of the wall; it's the extent of the wall. Meaning, if the wall reaches all the way to the ceiling, it's a wall that goes all the way up, all the way down. So that's where Beis Shammai will say that they're considered separate. Aval mechitas she'en magias l'tikra. But if they don't reach all the way to the wall, even if it is a proper mechitza, like think about, you know, a lady section where there's a mechitza, but it doesn't go all the way to the ceiling. So they're in one big room. They're still considered mishtate as one. The fourth explanation is machloikas b'mechitza she'en magias l'tikra. No, they argue because they don't reach to the wall. There's a proper mechitza, but it doesn't reach all the way to the ceiling. But if it goes all the way up to the ceiling, then of course we all agree that you need a separate contribution from each one, because if they go all the way to the ceiling, what else can you do to make them separate? Happens to be, again, the case was that they're in one big room, but just the walls go all the way to the ceiling. But this fourth explanation is that once they go all the way to the ceiling, then for sure everybody has to agree that they're separated. So now, Anamad Beis, Ayin Beis Amad Beis, Meisvei, I'll ask you a sira. I'm Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber. So Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber, who was either a very late Tano or a very early Amayir, but somebody that everybody has to fit their shitas into. So Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber says, V'nechleku Beishamar Beishilel Amachitzos Hamagiyas L'tikra. No, he says, there's no machlokes if it reaches the roof. If it reaches the roof, this is like the last pshat. Everybody will agree that there is definitely a separation. So Trichin Erev v'chol chabura v'chabura, each group has to contribute to the Erev. Amah nechleku, what do they argue about? Amachitza she'en magiyas l'tikra, where they don't reach the roof, she'beisham ha'yamrim Erev v'chol chabura v'chabura, still, even if it doesn't reach the roof, it's still large enough, still enough of a separation. U'beisol ha'yamrim Erev echad l'kulon, if it doesn't reach the roof, no, they're all considered all one group, so there's no difference between them. Now, the Gemara is going to try to fit this into the four pshatim that we just said before. According to the Mandiyam, it says they argue when they do reach the roof. So that for sure doesn't work, because we just said that they don't argue. According to Rabbi Yehuda Saber, they don't argue when it reaches the ceiling. And here we're saying that they do argue. So obviously that doesn't work. And according to the last shot we saw, that they argue when it doesn't reach the ceiling. So siyata, that will be a right. I mean, that's exactly the pshat, that they argue when it doesn't reach the ceiling. So that fits in perfectly. Remember, in Rav Nachman itself, we had two pshatim. According to the first girsa of Rav Nachman, that says machlekes b'mesipis, that they argue when it's a short wall, but when it's a tall wall, everybody agree that they're considered separate. So then also tiyufta, it also doesn't work, because here we're saying, here the ikar is whether or not it reaches the ceiling, not whether or not it's a tall wall or a short wall, because here it implies, because Rav Nachman's shot implies that even if it's a tall wall, even if it doesn't reach the ceiling, they're still arguing. And that, that if it's a mechitza, they agree that it's a separation. That's the problem. That if they argue when it's a short wall, that means they agree that by a tall wall, it's definitely a separation, even though it doesn't reach the roof. That's the problem. And according to the first pshat of Rav Nachman, according to Rav Yehuda HaSaber, if it doesn't reach the ceiling, then that's exactly where the machlokes is. You wouldn't have Beis Hillel agree in that case. And then finally, the question of the Gemara is the last lashon. L'hach lishna is the Amar of Nachman after mitzipas machlokes. That they argue in the mechitzas, mesipas, meaning they argue, doesn't matter how tall the wall is. It's just a short wall and a long wall and a tall wall. They argue in both cases. So lema tahava tiyufta. So that does that contradict Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber? Because do you have to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber, where the ikar is whether or not it reaches the ceiling, when you have such a low wall, maybe Rabbi Yehuda HaSaber will say, nah, even Beis Shammai will agree that that's not enough of a separation. And here, and according to Rav Nachman's pshat, that's kufa where they argue. They argue where it's a short wall. So are the two shitas inconsistent? So Amalach Rav Nachman, pligi b'mechitza, v'hu adin b'mesipas. He says no. Rav Nachman will say that the pshat is like this: they argue with the mechitza, which is a tall wall, and also they argue in a short wall, and they argue because it doesn't reach to the ceiling, it doesn't matter what the height is. So then why do they state their machlekes in a tall wall if they argue in both cases in the Mishnah? The Mishnah uses the word mechitza. To teach us that Beis Hillel holds that even if it's a tall wall, we'll still hold that they're one chabura. That's a big chiddush. That even though there's a big wall, they're still considered one chabura. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, it's a nice explanation, but why don't we have another possible explanation that even in a short wall, Beis Shammai says that's enough of a separation. That's a chiddush also. The Gemara answers, we'd rather, this is a concept all over Shas, that you'd rather see a machlokes stated in the positive, where you have a that Beis Hillel Shita is that even though there is a wall, it's still not going to bother us. We're still going to allow them to be considered one chabura, and that's where they argue. But everybody would agree, according to Rav Yehuda Saber, and we're trying to fit Rav Nachman into that as well, that if the ceiling goes all the way to, excuse me, if the mechitza, the wall, goes all the way to the ceiling, so then everybody will agree that that's for sure considered enough of a separation. Okay, so Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav, which is a different shita. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav, Halacha k'Rav Yehuda HaSaber, we're going to hold like Rav Yehuda HaSaber that where the wall goes all the way to the ceiling, that is too much of a separation. Everybody will agree, even Beis Hillel, that they're considered separate. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, another Rav Nachman, Nasnisa Nami Deka, and I'll prove it to you from our Mishnah also that if it reaches the ceiling, there's no machlekes. Because it says the end of the Mishnah was that if they are in separate rooms or they're in a different floor, that they definitely consider need a different area for each chabura. So my chadarim and my aliyos, what did the Mishnah mean with that case? What's different about that case of the chadarim and the aliyos? If you mean a separate room, literally a separate room, and aliyah is an attic, is a different floor, is a totally separate mamish, so then pshita, it's pshita that they're considered separate and they have to contribute separately to the eruv. So that would not be a chiddush. Elalav, what it means is ke'ein chadarim ke'ein aliyah. So it doesn't mean that they're literally on a different floor or they're literally in a different room. It means similar to that. So that the only explanation to that would be is that because the walls reach all the way to the ceiling. Shema minah, and this the Gemara says is considered a good raya, that even Beis Hillel will agree that if the wall reaches all the way to the ceiling, that that's considered enough of a separation, that for sure the chabura is considered separate and has to contribute, and not one, and therefore has to contribute to the eruv on its own. So, lemaskana the Gemara at this point, the Gemara seems to say that once the wall reaches the ceiling, even Beis Hillel will agree that it's a separation. When it doesn't reach the wall, that's where you have your machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, regardless, according to this pshat in the Gemara, regardless of how high the wall is, they're considered separate according to Beis Shammai. Okay, now, the Gemara continues and says, Tana, v'med varam amurim, when did Beis Shammai say that they're considered separate, that they have to contribute, kishem elichin esay ruvan l'mokayim acher? That's where, remember the case was that you had these separate groups, these five separate groups within one room, but this one room is just one of the houses within a chatzar. There are multiple, there are other groups, other houses in this chatzar. So what happened was, now these guys want to contribute to the bigger chatzar, and the question is, and therefore Beis Shammai says that they have to, each one has to contribute into the big chatzar. Aval imaya iruvan ba etzlon, but if, let's say for example, the place where they're going to hold on to the eruv is going to be in this traklin where they are, so then divrei hakol eruv echad lekulon, then they definitely group together. In other words, the only issue here, we've been understanding till now that either they were separate for all purposes or they were joined for all purposes. Comes along this Tana and tells us, no, they're separate only for purposes of contributing to outside parties. But if everybody's going to use them as the holder of the eruv, then one group within this traklin can hold it on behalf of all of them. Okay. So now, Kaman Oslo, so let's look at this next brisa then. Hadatanya. So how do you explain the next following brisa? Chamisha shegavu es eruvan, if they collected the eruv, kishem alichin es eruvan l'makam acher, when they therefore contribute to a separate location, eruv echad l'kulon, then they all have to contribute. So Kaman, kibeis hillel, that works out exactly based on what we just said, according to Beis Hillel, that the reason why they have to contribute is only because they're going someplace else. But if they had brought the Erev to where they are right now, they then sorry. Yeah, right. So because they're contributing someplace else, therefore they have to contribute. Eruv Echad Lekulan, that they're considered all one. Even though they're bringing their Eruv to a different location, one Eruv on behalf of all of them is good enough. So come on, Beis Hillel, that works according to Beis Hillel, because according to Beis Hillel, remember this whole business that we make a difference whether the Eruv goes to them or they go someplace else, is only according to Beis Shammai. But according to Beis Hillel, they're considered one homogeneous group. They're all one thing. So therefore, even if they contribute to Eruv someplace else, one of them can contribute on behalf of all of them. That's one way to read this price. So the Ekadami, another version is, B'medvar Mamurim, when do we say that they have to contribute Kishaya Eruv, that they're considered one Kishaya Eruv but one? That's when the Eruv comes to them, they're considered one. But if they're going to bring the Eruv to a different location, when they give everybody else, when they donate their Eruv to a different location, then each Chabura has to contribute to Man Oslo. Fine. So that's where everybody would agree. Now, this is a different pshat, right? Till now we said Beis Shammai says that they're considered separate when they contribute. Here we're saying everybody, even Beis Hillel, says that when they bring the Eruv someplace else, even Beis Hillel will agree that each one has to contribute. However, the problem with that is, come on, Hazla Hazatanya. So then how are you going to explain this price? It says, Chamisha Shagavu Es Eruvon, that five people, when they collect their Eruv, and of course they're together in one big room, that even then they only have to contribute one Eruv for all of them. So the problem with that pshat is that it doesn't work according to Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, because we just said, according to the second way we learned this, that if they're bringing the Eruv to a different location, everybody would agree, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would agree, that they all have to contribute. So it doesn't work out according to any man diyomar. If we require that, because if we say that if they go someplace else, they have to contribute, but if they're bringing it to them, they are considered one. Because this price says that even when they bring it someplace else, they only need one Eruv for all of them, which doesn't work if you hold that Beis Hillel agrees that when you bring the Eruv someplace else, each one is considered a separate Chabura. Was that clear? What? Oh, okay, fine. All right, let's start with this next concept. We have a minute or two. Ha'achin. So till now we've been talking about five separate groups that they have nothing to do with each other, other than the fact that they all happen to be in the same, under the same roof, with walls in between them. The question is how large the walls are, whether they reach the ceiling or not, or how large they are even if they don't reach the ceiling. All right, now let's talk about a situation which is probably more common, where you have a family, and the family lives in, you know, let's say they live in an apartment building together, and, you know, each one goes to a separate room. Or even you know, kids that live in the parents' house, they go to their separate room. The question is, where do they eat? And that's going to be the discussion here. If you have brothers, so they're all related, and they actually eat together with their father. However, v'yishenim b'bateim, and they go to their own room, they go to their own house to sleep. So then, tzrichin eruv l'chol echad be'echad. They still need to make an eruv for each one of them. Okay, because they sleep in separate houses. Here we're not talking about a bedroom within the house. We're talking about where there's actually a, let's say they're in like a motel. They're going to go to a separate room in the motel, but they're going to eat together. So they need an eruv l'chol echad be'echad, l'fichach. And because, according to this, if one of the brothers forgot to contribute his Eruv before Shabbos, so he's going to have to be Mevatel Es Reshus, like any other person, even though they're brothers and they're sort of together, still, if they need an Eruv, then the same rules of Eruv apply, and if he forgets, he has to contribute, he has to be Mevatel Es Reshus. Aim aside. When is that true? Bezman shemelichen eruvon v'mokem acher. This is only true if there are other people. Again, let's use that motel case, that each one has their own room in the motel. If there are other occupants of the motel, it's not just those five guys. that's when, and they're bringing the Erev, they want to contribute with everybody else in the chatzar, everybody else in the motel. So then that's when they really each have to contribute. Aval imhaya Erev ba'et lon, but if let's say they're the ones, they're the keeper of the Erev, or there's no one else that lives in their group, in that motel, in that chatzar, then they don't have to make an Erev. In other words, they're not really be'etzem separate. They're only separate as compared to the rest of the world, the way the rest of the world sees them. So if they're going to have to contribute to the rest of the world, they're going to have to go out to the rest of the world, so then they're considered separate, the fact that they sleep in a separate room, separate house. But if the Erev is coming to them, where they're in charge of the Erev, so they're for internally, for their own purposes, they're considered one group, and therefore also if the Erev is either coming to them, or of course if there's no one else in the chatzar, like in your house, there's no one else living in the house, so then of course you don't have to contribute to the Erev. The brothers don't have to contribute to the Erev, because as we're going to see in the Gemara in 1 second, that this is talking about where they're all eating on the same, in the same place. But the Gemara says, Shmami no, let's just do two more, a couple lines. Shmami no, mokaim lina goyrim. By the fact that we said that they would be required, because of the fact that they sleep in a separate room, that's where, so we see, it just matters where you sleep, not where you eat. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, the Makable Pras Shagar. We're talking about where they are taking some room back, they are taking some food back to their room. So if you're in a hotel where everybody has to eat in a lunchroom, then it's fine. Then they don't have to contribute separately because they all are together because the food's in one place. However, if people are going to start taking some food back to their own house, so then it's like, I mean, if you can think about a mashal, I don't know how familiar you are with, let's say, a kibbutz. Where a kibbutz, everybody eats together. But some people, if you want, you don't want to eat with everybody else. You don't want to eat in the main dining room. You could take the food back to your own little house, and eat in your own house. If you do that, then you create a separation between the people, and then they need to make an Erev. If in fact everybody is insisted that they must only eat in the main dining room, so then Anachanami, the fact that they sleep in a separate room, that alone is not enough to make a separation between them and would not cause them to be considered a separate Chabura.